You know, we've been, Joey and I have been talking. I'm going to come off the stage. Is it going to mess you up if I come up, like, over here? Be all right? I won't walk in front of the speakers. All right. Talk to, where I turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. Just keep your thumb there. That's cool. That way you don't got to turn there later on. If you leave your Bible on the table open, I promise the wind will change it, because it does it to me all the time. But, you know, Joey and I have been talking. We really wanted to try to get a series going, and I don't know if this is where it's going to go or not. But actually, we had like a topical series plan. We knew what we were going to go, and I just couldn't get it connected. I just, you know, I thought, oh, man, I got it. I got, you know, just when you think you got things under control, right, then God steps in and says, nah, I'm going to change it up on you, you know. So we, for those of you guys who don't know, we just hosted a pastor's conference here at The Rock where, they didn't want to call it a conference, it was a pastor's gathering where we invited pastors from literally all over the world. We had some pastors from Australia, homeboy, yeah, I see you. That's my boy. That's my buddy Vaughn, right? Stand up, Vaughn. Before, I just got to give a shout out to Vaughn. This is Vaughn. He's from Australia. He's the young adults and youth pastor, right? All right. And young adults at his church. Vaughn's an awesome guy. You guys should go and say hi to him after service. Talk to him because you'll love that Australian accent. I think all Americans just fall in love with Australians because of their accent, regardless of, you know, whatever it is. Just, we love the accent. I wish we could speak like that. I think we all kind of envy that accent. Yeah, I'm not alone. Okay. But listen, we just had this pastor's conference, you know, and so we got the privilege of hosting 600 pastors. It was a free conference. We didn't ask them to pay for anything. Pastors Jim and Debbie just came in and imparted the love and just showed them what God could do in a place like this. It wasn't for us to show off. It wasn't for us to like brag about, oh, look how great we are. It was just for us to take these pastors, some of them from Korea, from Australia, from Mexico, from all over the Inland Empire, from all over the United States. Flew in for 3 days, and we just imparted. We loved on him. We gave him a filet mignon dinner. Dude, it was the bomb. Oh, my gosh. We gave him, like, breakfast, free lunch, free dinner. They came to service. If you guys were here on Wednesday night, you saw him. And you know what, man? It was just awesome. Well, I didn't know, unbeknownst to me, that there was going to be some pastor's kids, you know. Being that my dad's the pastor of the church, I grew up as a pastor's kid. So they had asked me, you know, can you talk to some of the pastor's kids just about the experiences of what it's like being a PK growing up, what they can expect, so forth and so on. So we start talking to them, and they're like, oh, dude, you guys tore it up. So then Pastor Richard's like, hey, man, you want to do the devotional for the next morning? And I'm like, all right, you know, dealing with youth is like, it's tough. I'm not going to lie. You know, you guys are a great crowd. You guys got smiles on your face, you know. We're talking to the youth kids, and they're like sitting in their chair. One girl, man. She was cool, but one girl, we're sitting in there, we're talking, and she's like leaning back in her chair, and she's like, oh, I'm like, while I'm talking, I'm like, you kidding me? So you guys are awesome. But anyways, if you do, I'm going to smack you. So I started delivering this devotion, and I went to this verse. I have this daily devotional that a buddy of mine from Bible college gave me called My Utmost for His Highest. If any of you guys ever heard of it, from a guy named Oswald Chambers. Anyways, if you haven't heard of it, it's a cool book. It's like $5 if you buy it at like Berean or the bookstore. I don't know if we have it. It's really cool. Every day, a verse and just a little short inspirational. So I was sifting through it, reading through it. And, you know, man, I just came across this verse and I started reading the verse. And then I started going to like another verse that I knew that was associated with that verse. And I started reading through the Romans, the 8th chapter. And God just hit me, boom. And he says, man, you hit this because this is a deep chapter. So I'm only going to touch on the first couple parts of this chapter, and hopefully we can expound on this, whether or not Joey does it or I come back later on and do it. But I know that God has really got something for you tonight. So tonight's message, I want to talk about being in Christ. So if you're taking notes, the title of tonight's message would be In Christ. And what we want to do is through the Romans, the 8th chapter, I'm just going to take a look at probably about the first third of the whole chapter of Romans. Whole book, yeah, we're going to be here for a couple hours, guys. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to take a look at just the first couple verses. I really believe that God's got something for you tonight. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at being in Christ. Now, how many of you guys know that every day we are faced with a decision as soon as we wake up? Every day, it's a new decision. You made the decision yesterday, you made it the day before, but every day you make a new decision. The moment you wake up, the moment you gain consciousness, you make that decision. What? To one, serve God. To serve yourself, right? You wake up every morning. How many of you guys know, hopefully, you don't got to raise your hand, but maybe give me a nod, give me amen. How many of you guys know that sometimes we wake up and we forget that decision, like the option B to serve God, and it's just us. Like, and you just like kind of like lapse back into yourself for a day. By the end of the day, you kind of like regain consciousness. Oh my gosh, hello. Like, what does I do? I mean, please, I hope I'm not alone. You know, maybe give me not in. Okay, all right. I see a couple amens. At least I'm, you know, I'm not the only one here. You know, we're not perfect. Like you guys, like I told you the last couple times I was here, you know, we sin. Sometimes minutely, hourly, secondly, whatever, right? We make a decision every day to one, be in Christ, right? To walk in the path, to walk in the Spirit, or two, to walk in our own flesh, in our own carnal knowledge. You guys with me tonight? So tonight, Paul is writing to the Roman church, and he's talking about the decisions that people are making. And, you know, throughout, we'll read a couple passages, but he talks about, listen, you got basically two essential decisions. Walk in Christ, right? Live in the Spirit, walk according to the Spirit, or two, walk according to your own knowledge. So tonight, I want to talk about the benefits of being in Christ. And we're going to look at the first couple verses. I'm going to start out in verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I've got four things. I totally just jumped on Sindel, but it's all good. Tonight, we're going to talk about four things. And verse number 1 is that first point. First sentence, first part of that sentence says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in who? To those who are in who? To those who are in themselves? To those who are in the world? No, to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the what? To the flesh, but according to the what? Spirit. To the Spirit. There is therefore no condemnation in Christ. So number 1, if you're taking notes tonight, if we're talking about being in Christ, if you are in Christ, you can rest assured to know that there is no condemnation in Christ. That doesn't mean that there's no chastisement or there's no correction, that there's no, you know, a little spanking from God. But it does mean that there is no condemnation. Listen to me, guys. When you come and you walk through your life and you mess up, if you wholeheartedly repent, you turn it to God, you give it to God, the Bible says that Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of our unrighteousness. Are you guys with me tonight, right? I didn't just make that up. So as Christians, when we walk in Christ, when we live in Christ, we can rest assured to know that there is no condemnation. Now, our body's going to come and our flesh is going to come against us and say, listen, man, you messed up. You messed up royally, you know, you keep messing up, whatever it may be. And you know what? You're going to feel that condemnation. But guess what? That condemnation doesn't come from Christ. Because if you talk to God, if you were to ask God after you have given him that issue, if you have repented to God, if after you've given that issue up to God, if you were to ask God, you know, Lord, are you going to throw this back in my face? He's going to say, what? What? What are you talking about? What? I don't remember that. I'm looking at this record of your life. And it's blank, it's clean, it's washed clean. Why? Because as Christians, we can rest assured that there is no condemnation in Christ if we, the Bible says, if we confess our sins and give it to him, right? So if we live in Christ and if we confess, if we're walking in Christ, right? If we're in Christ and we mess up, then what are we going to do? We're going to give it to Christ, right? If we're walking in our flesh, then what are we going to do? We're going to try to hide it. We're going to try to, oh, nobody's going to know about it. Or, you know what, I'm not worthy. I'm going to keep doing my own thing. You know, but if we're walking in Christ and we're going to know, listen, I know that I can rest assured that there is no condemnation in Christ. Are you with me tonight? Yeah. Listen, number 2, if you're taking notes, I don't even have my notes on me. Oh, all right. I know it. There is freedom in Christ. Yeah, okay, good. I was making sure. We can rest assured that when we walk in Christ, there is freedom. Now, I'm going to read to you verse number 2, and I think I gave Sindel just 2, but I think my notes tell me to read farther than that. Yeah, okay. I'm going to read you verse 2. If you have your Bibles, you can read along with me. I'm going to go all the way up to verse number 9. This is why you want to bring your Bibles to church, because the preacher is only going to give you the verse that really, you know, just kind of overview. But I'm going to go a little deeper than that. So if you don't got your Bible, just go ahead and listen up. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law of the, I'm going to do verse 2 again. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me what?
Free.
Has made me what?
Free.
Has bound me down?
No.
Has made me free from the law of what?
Sin
and death. Of sin and death. Verse number 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse number 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit the things of the Spirit. Verse number 6, to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded means fleshly, all right? When you know carne, chili con carne? It means like meat, right? So to be meat minded, to be body minded, to be carnally minded is death, all right? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse number 7. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God. Enmity means war. The carnal mind is constantly battling against God. How many of you guys know that when you're in the flesh, I'm going to take a little rabbit trail right here. When you're in the flesh, when you're doing your own thing, it does not agree with the Bible, right? I mean, can anybody else attest to that? When you mess up, right? When you blow it, when you freak out on your spouse or your girlfriend, you know, sometimes I lose my temper on Stacy because she likes to push my buttons. How many of you guys know that, man? When you do that, it's like, boom, you feel it. Oh, man, that's not what God wants, right? The carnal, where am I at? I lost my place, man. I got on my rabbit trail. Verse number 7? Yeah, because the carnal mind is at enmity, war against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Verse number 8. So then those who are in the flesh, what does it say? Those of you who have a Bible, somebody tell me. Cannot, what? Please God. Those of you who are in the flesh cannot please God. Oh, dude. Oh, man, that's deep. All right. That's another message all in itself. But those of you who are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But if indeed if the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not dwell in the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Listen, the Bible says all the way back in verse 2, all that I read, because it's talking about how Jesus came and he conquered the sin nature. He came and he conquered the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? You know, back in the day, have you heard the story about those two people way back in the day, Adam and Eve, right? And she ate the of good and evil. No, I'm just kidding. Do I need to stay like at that antenna right there? Okay. Yeah, right. You gotta have to like move that antenna with me, you know what I mean? Yeah, there you go. Like, exactly, Marco. All right, that's Marco. Everybody give Marco a whoop, whoop. All right. Yeah. Verse number 2, for the law of the Spirit of Christ is made free from the law of sin and death. Adam and Eve, they came back and they ate that tree, that fruit from the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. You know that, right? All of a sudden we have that sin nature, you know, and that thing that we wake up and we want to like, you know, do our own thing, right? Back before Adam and Eve were walking around naked and they were like, chilling with the animals. Now all of a sudden the animals want to eat them. They want to eat the animals, right? They have some kids. Their kids kill each other. I mean, you have a brother and sister. You want to kill your brother and sister. Cain literally did that, all right? So this is the law of sin and death, okay? The sin nature that we were all born into, nobody can escape it. There was one person who escaped the law of sin and nature. And that's when verse number 3 says that God came and he sent his own son in the likeness, not in the sinful flesh, right? Verse number 3 says he sent his own son in the likeness. Jesus looked like us, but he wasn't in the law of sin and death. Why? Because he didn't have that carry through his bloodline. That's because he was born of a Virgin Mary. Okay, so I don't know about y'all, but I got a mama. All right, I think pretty much everybody else who ever lived in the world ever has a mama and a papa. Right, I guess I should have specified the papa part because Jesus had a mama too. Y'all got papas. Biological ones. We got a papa in heaven too. But listen, Jesus came and he crucified himself. He died on the cross, a beaten bloody mess for us. So what? That we could escape that law of sin and death. We could escape that damnation. That's not a cuss word. That's really like, you know, we're being sent to hell. Okay. We could escape that route to hell. And live not in the law of sin and death anymore, but we could live in freedom. So you guys can rest assured in now knowing that if you live in Christ, you have been set apart. You have been taken out of that generation. You've been taken out of the world and set on a higher level. You've been put on a pedestal by God. The Bible says that we are a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. We have been set apart from the law of sin and death, and we have been given a new life. Remember two weeks ago, I talked about how we were new creations. We have been given a new life, and we now respond to a whole completely different set of rules, the laws of the Spirit. You guys with me tonight? All right, number 3. Verse number 10, there is life in Christ. Man, how much time? Okay, I got some time. Listen, was that the right point? Yeah, okay. There is life in Christ. Dude, Let me read the verse. Verse number 10. Then we'll go, right? And if I'm going to read verse number 11 too. I think it's on there too. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is what?
Life
because of righteousness. Verse number 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the what? Dead. Dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the what? Dead. Will also give you what? Life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. When you live in Christ, guys, you can rest assured that you have life. You have life. And the Bible says, and more abundantly you have life. How many times? Oh, I'm going to get on my soapbox. All right, where's my soapbox? How many times do we come, oh man, life is hard. Oh, the job is just tough, dude. That teacher in college is just hating on me. I had a teacher in college that literally hated me. Me and Stacy, I don't know why. One time she just had her head on my shoulder. And it's a classroom of like 100 people, right? Stops in the middle of her lecture. She's like, hey, excuse me. Can you scoot over? Thank you. Like, okay, right? Man, that teacher is just hating on me, man. Oh, you know, I got this pain in my foot. Or, you know, oh, woe is me, right? We've all been there. Right? We've all been there at some point. We want to play our sob story, right? How many of you guys have heard that term, misery loves what? Company, right? When you're feeling bad, you want someone to know it, right? You want someone to know it. You remember back in the day when, it might even be to this day too, sometimes I try to do it to Stacy, like you're feeling bad, and you try to like blink a bunch to get the eyes all watery, so somebody will be like, what's wrong, you know? What's wrong? You know, so like, we'll be driving in the car, and I'll be like, you know, yeah, like Stacy's saying, like, smash your toe and you start crying. What's wrong? Oh, my God, you wouldn't believe what happened to me. Oh, I feel like I'm dead. Listen, in Christ, you have been assured that there is life. Guys, as Christians, it is time for us to stop walking in what we know. Because what our mind tells us to be carnally minded is what? Death, right? What our mind tells us is that we are dead. This life is hopeless. This life is worthless. It's going to go nowhere. We're aimless. We're just in this universe wandering around and, you know, someday maybe come back as a snail. No, we got to stop and we got to raise ourselves up. Like I had said, God has called us to a higher level. When we become Christians, when we step into Christ, we now can be assured that we have life. Right? So you got these issues. You know what? You wake up every day with the pain. You wake up every day with heartache. You wake up whatever it is that you're going through. You can rest assured that, listen, in Christ, you have been given life. It doesn't say in Christ, you can pick it up or you can choose. In Christ, you have been given life. It is up to you to decide whether or not you're going to live in Christ or you're going to keep moaning and groaning. You're going to keep griping about whatever the situation is in your life. Let me tell you something. I had a friend, actually she wasn't a friend, I shouldn't say that. I had an acquaintance that I sat next to in Bible college, just to say she was my friend, just, you know, whatever. I sat next to her in Bible college, and every day I'd ask her how she was going. And Joey and Ryan, they heard me. For 2 years I griped about this lady, because they'd be like, hey, how's it going? Blessed and highly favored, thank you. Oh, okay, all right. The next day, hey, how you doing? Blessed and highly favored, thank you. It was like almost like the answering machine, like, beep, blessed and highly favored. Please leave a message after the beep. Like, right? It was just an automated response. You know, it's like, blessed, oh, come on, I want to know really how you are. Misery loves company, you know? I was so frustrated. But then I started to realize, listen, what she's doing is she's deciding, listen, in the morning, at night, whenever somebody asks me, I'm not going to tell them how I really feel because misery loves company. I'm going to tell them what Christ says I feel. Because what Christ says I feel is different than what my mind says I feel, right? Well, my body, my carne, right? My chili con carne tells me is that I feel sick. I feel dead. But Christ tells me that I got life. I'm blessed in the name of Jesus. I got life and I got it more abundant. And that's a promise. There's a time and a place for you to get with somebody that you love or you trust and, you know, pour your heart out to them. But that doesn't mean that as Christians, guys, we got to walk around to everybody who asks us and tell them, okay? We are promised in life. And if we are children of God, if we live in Christ, then what do we have? We have life, okay? All right, I'm sorry. I spent a lot of time on that one, but that's because it's close to my heart. Okay, good. Thank you, Stacy, my wife. Okay, thanks. Verse number 12. Right? Where am I at? I'm sorry. I went through 11. Oh, no. Okay. Verse number 16 and 17. Number 4, if you're taking notes, there is assurance in Christ. Ooh, dude, I have gone through this one. There is assurance in Christ. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse number 16. You guys should be there. I didn't put my thumb in there like I told you to do, so now I have to turn back there. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse number 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Verse number 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, then we may also be glorified together. Listen, the Spirit himself bears witness that we are in Christ. Verse number 16. Can you go back? Do you have it? There we go. Bears witness. How many times, I don't know if you guys are this way or not. I think this is a really very, very real issue with us as young adults going through these transitional phases of our lives, you know, coming out of college, coming out of, you know, trade school, coming out of high school, coming out of one job to the next, looking for a job, can't find a job, got a job I don't like, whatever, right? There's a bunch of stuff going on. We're always busy at this age. There's been a lot of times in my life, and I'm being really honest, being open and transparent with you guys, where there's been times, not recently, but where I have actually wondered, God, am I really even saved? You know, is there really even a point to this? Am I just, honestly, is this just something that some guy told me on a stage that says that I got to live this way and that what happens at the end of my life when, you know, what if he's wrong? God, is this really real? How many, have anybody ever felt that way before? God, is this really real? Are you really real? All right, a couple of you. The other ones of you, I think you felt it. You just don't know you felt it. Verse number 16 says that the Spirit himself, not your buddy, not Pastor Joey, not Pastor Luke, not, you know, not the guy sitting next to you, not the guy on the stage singing, the Spirit himself bears witness that you are a child of Christ. The Spirit himself tells you, listen, dude, you are a child in Christ. You are an heir with Christ. Yes, the verse 17 is a little tough to read. There are some promises there too. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs in Christ, that we indeed may suffer with him. Yes, there's going to be hard times. But the Spirit himself assures us that we are children of God. The Spirit of, he tells us, listen, dude, why are you asking that question? Because you know what? That's not me talking. That's not God talking. That's your body saying. That's the devil coming up against you saying, oh, why is this real? Oh, me, oh, my, right? Because what if the devil could get you to question, the devil could get you to think that you're in some bad sob story, that you don't really believe this, that God doesn't love you, that God didn't choose you, guess what's going to happen? You're going to go live your life and do your own thing, right? I was telling the kids in the pastor's conference, you know, what is it, 7 people? I think it's circle of influence. Check, test. There it is. Woohoo! Listen, I think it's 7 people. Am I right? I don't know. I think it's anywhere from 70 people you have direct contact with, and through them, they have direct contact with X amount of other people, and through that, you can reach like 10,000 people, right? I think that someone did that, like, didn't was like the great date with Drew Barrymore. Like, he tried to use his like 10 contacts to get to Drew Barrymore, and he actually ended up, like some random Joe Smo, ended up like contacting Drew Barrymore just so he could ask her out on a date, right? So the devil could come, and he can come against you and say, listen, what you think, you know, you're not really saved. You're not really a child of God. You don't really have life. You've got death. You might as well stop living your life. You're not really healed. You can't really believe that. God doesn't have a plan for you. If he can come and do that, guess what he's going to do? He's going to drag you down. He's going to pull you out. He's going to mess you up because he's a really real thing, right? And that circle of influence isn't just going to get you. It's going to get your family. It's going to get your friends. It's going to get the people that you know. And that's his goal. That's why there's a ton of bad stuff going on in the world. Because there's a bunch of people who influence a bunch of other people who influence a bunch of other people. But let me tell you something, guys. The Spirit himself bears witness that we are Christians. The Spirit himself bears witness that we are heirs in Christ. The Spirit himself bears witness that what? We got life in Christ. He bears witness that what? We are free in Christ. He bears witness that what? We got no condemnation in Christ. Therefore, we can come and that circle of influence, we can be a positive influence to the people around us. We can start bringing them to church. Yeah, that's right. We can start getting them saved. We can start lifting them up. You know, we got cousins, we got brothers, we got sisters, we got coworkers that are all having something going on. We can be a positive influence in them. Because why? The Spirit himself bears witness to us. We are children of God. We are heirs in Christ. Yes, we're called to suffer. Joey talked about it last week. There's persecution all throughout the world. You know, me, I play on a sports team with a bunch of unsaved people, and I face persecution in the fact that they literally leave me out of everything. It hurts me, all right? You know, they're my friends. I like them. I hang out with them. But, you know, I feel sad. Listen, we're all going to face something someday, somewhere. Some of us, yeah, more than others. Some of us, our situations in life are tougher than others. All right? I'm not lying about that, all right? There's some of you guys out here that have gone through some really bad stuff. But let me tell you something. The Spirit of God comes and he says, I have assurance that you are now an heir of Christ. You are now a child of God. Whatever happened to you in the past is not relevant because you have life. You have freedom and you have no condemnation if you live in me. Conditional statement. If you live in me. Guys, tonight we're talking about being in Christ. We're talking about living in Christ. You got a choice every morning. You can wake up and have condemnation. You can wake up and be bound by the laws of sin and death. You can wake up and you can feel like you're dying. You can wake up and feel like you're sick. You can wake up and not know. Or you can live a life of Christ. You can wake up in the morning and make a decision. Listen, I'm going to live a life in Christ. I'm going to live my life in Christ. And you can know that you have what? Number one, no condemnation. Number two, you can know that you are free in Christ. There is freedom in Christ. You have been broken through the chains of sin and death, and you have come through into life. Number three, there is life. Did I say life? I said freedom for number two. Life in Christ. And number four, you can be assured that the Spirit himself, God himself, comes down and confirms to you in your heart, you are a child of God. You are a child of God. I got a call in your life. I got a call in your life. And all of a sudden, now you can live your life with a chin up in the air, shoulders back. And you know what? Come on, world, let's go. I got this ready. I got you, right? Because now all of a sudden, I know I'm a child of God and I got assurance. How many of you guys know sometimes you only go as far as you're encouraged, right? Somebody pulls you down, brings you out, drags you down. You're not going to want to do it. But if somebody's there to lift you up, to lift you higher, to encourage you, to build you up, you're going to keep going. And God's that person. You know, you may say, I don't have anybody to encourage me. Dude, read Romans the 8th chapter. We just read it. All right. God himself, the Spirit himself, will affirm to you that you are a child of God. He will lift you up. He will bring you up out of that stuff that you've been in. Okay. Did you guys get something out of the word tonight?